Check, check, check.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Hello, this is Faith.
Hello, Faith. Ron White, how are you?
Ron White, hi.
Hi.
Very excited to talk to you today.
Thank you, dear.
Woo! I gotta admit, you're kind of an intimidating guy, though.
Why is that?
I don't know, because you're Ron White. You're, like, bigger than life.
That doesn't hold a lot of weight in this house.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, not really.
Do you want me to tell your wife that I feel that way about you?
You can.
Maybe it'll help. Maybe it'll help at home.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking to Grammy-nominated Ron White, who, of course, many of us are familiar with from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. I was lucky enough to see that quite a few times when you rolled through Bloomington. This time, he is back solo this Thursday night at the U.S. Cellular Coliseum. We cannot wait. We are so excited to have you back here.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. I'm looking forward to it. I still love to do stand up, and it's going to be good to get back out on the road. And but I say that like I'm not on the road all the time, anyway.
Right.
yeah, I still love to do. I just love to do stand up, so it'll be fun. And the show is nobody will have seen any of it. So and it's the strongest thing I've ever done. I did 4 sets last night on my night off. So we live out in L.A., so you can bounce around from the Improv to the Comedy Store, to the Laugh Factory, to some other little club. So I still do it every day. So it's fun to go out and get my hands on a big old sweet crowd.
Now, is it different? I mean, obviously the crowds are super different when you're going from small club to like kind of a stadium crowd. What do you like better?
I like them both. It doesn't matter. You know, a big crowd you would work a little slower with, but it's they're both fun. I mean, for a long time I would just do those. I mean, for years I just did clubs. So when I first started doing the big rooms, they were intimidating. But you know, you get used to anything. You know, so now I'm just as used to doing big rooms as little rooms.
I was actually just reading up on your life. You've done some very interesting things. You were a bull owner at one point.
I did own bulls, yeah.
Do you think you could get 8 seconds on a bull?
No. I'd get eight. I get a ride to the hospital.
And at one point,
yeah, go ahead.
At one point, you moved to Mexico and you sold pottery.
Well, we didn't really sell much of it. We made a lot of it. it was more of a hobby than it was. We were collectors of pottery. But yeah, I did. I lived in Reynosa, Mexico, which is one of the most dangerous towns in the world now. It wasn't then. Then it was only dangerous if you were there trying to, you know, stop the drug trade, which I wasn't. I was there to make pottery. So it was a really quiet town then, but now it's gotten kind of rowdy. But I loved it down there. I thought it was great. And I was flying out on the weekends and opening for Jeff, and so it was a cool situation. I always couldn't wait to get back. So, and that's and I'm married to a Mexican woman. So not from then, and she was raised in Texas, but she's from Mexico. Margo Ray, she's an amazing singer, songwriter.
I actually was reading up a little bit on you got a musician in the family now, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, a couple of them. My son's a horn player, and his girlfriend is a singer, and we have a busy house that's usually full of comics and musicians, and we like that.
Do you ever miss any of that old life, owning the bulls and selling the pottery? Like, it kind of seems like you've led a very interesting full life of a little bit of everything.
Well, I know I don't miss it. My life has always just kind of gone on to the next thing. So you know, but it's always the one constant's always been stand-up comedy, which is what I was born to do. I mean, that's the first time I was on stage, I knew for right then that this is what I was looking for. This is what I was. This is what my brain does. And
do you remember the first time that
really determined a lot of other things that I'm very good at? So, but this one always fit me like a glove. So, and you know, and to have a career run as long as mine has, I mean, 29 years, but the last 13 years at the top of this of touring comedians, that's almost unheard of. You know, it happens every once in a while, but not very often. I thought it would last for a couple of years, and so I always kind of kept doing a whole lot of shows, thinking it would end. So I still do 120 cities a year, but it never ended. And now it seems to be getting bigger again. And now I've got a new series coming out on Showtime that's fantastic. It's called Roadies. It's going to be, the air date is June 26th at 10 p.m. Eastern. And it's about this huge rock band, but it's about everybody but the band. It's about, you know, the technicians and the managers and the stagehands and all those people.
Exciting.
Written and directed by Cameron Crowe and executive produced by J.J. Abrams. So it's a
wow
huge project. And for some reason, Cameron, instead of hiring an actor, gave me the job for the band. And it's a fun cast, and it's I can't wait for it to start.
Now, I would assume that obviously being a comedian who likes being in front of an audience, that's quite different for you to not have that instant kind of gratification.
Excuse me. Yeah, the two things are not even similar. Stand-up, television or movies, neither one of those are fun at all. You sit around and wait. It's an art form that I have to really try hard at. You sit around in these little trailers, and it's really not fun. This one was fun because Cameron is just a really magical dude to work for, and he creates this really great space that you're not afraid to try in, you know. And so he gets a lot of good stuff out of everybody, and the whole scene's got a great energy to it, and it's going to be cool. I mean, I'm wrong every time, but I think it's going to be great.
Those are very impressive names. Very, very impressive names. Now, obviously, I mean, comedy, just like anything else, kind of has its, you know, its waves, its ups and downs, its highs and lows. Where do you think comedy is now? Do you think it's on a high?
I think it is. I still have a lot of friends that still work the clubs, and excuse me, a lot of the guys that open for me, you know, work clubs when they're not opening for me, and they said that, you know, that the clubs are full, and I see when I'm doing stand-up, especially here in L.A., I mean, that Chris Rock came out last night and did a set, and Martin Lawrence came out the other night and did a set, and Adam Sandler, I saw him the other day, and Sarah Silverman, so all these big comics, they got to come work the beats out on this new stuff, and nobody can do it for you.
That's
and,
cool.
So it's the clubs out here are full of it, but it's not just the young guys. It's the veterans. Chappelle was out here the other day, and these are New York guys. I don't know what they're doing out here, but they're just great comics. And then you watch the young guys, and they're rattling the club. So I don't know who they are, but I think it's in great shape.
That's very impressive to hear that everybody who's considered to have made it still wants to get out there and hit the streets and just kind of feel that excitement. So that's pretty awesome.
Well, you just have no choice because you won't be relevant if you don't. You have to move on. You have to write new stuff. There's no such thing as a hit joke. You have to move on because if you know the joke, you know the joke. There's no way to unknow it. And you're not going to respond to it the same if you know it. And so you have to go do it. And so it's, you know, it's, why people will move out here, so they have access to doing five sets a night, and which you can't do in Minneapolis. You know, you can do it in New York or L.A. That's it.
Who do you think is doing it right in comedy these days? Like the new up and comers, Amy Schumer, Tig Notaro, Aziz Ansari, any of those?
You know, they're all good. I don't pay attention to it that much either. I mean, I also don't watch other comics. I mean, I don't. If I watch it flipping through TV and somebody doing stand up, I don't watch it. I'll watch a little bit in the clubs, but you know, but there are a lot of really famous young guys that are selling big tickets, and so I assume they're great. You know, but I know Daniel Tosh pretty well. I've known him since he was a kid. And we all knew he was going to be famous, and you know, he's fantastic. And but my favorites are still the, you know, the older guys. Dave Attell still makes me laugh till I can't breathe. And but Chris Rock and Chappelle and CK and you know, those guys really make it. I think the guys that have 25 years in it, they're more interesting to me. That because this art form does not come easy. It does not come quick. And you can be kind of good at it early on. And I was kind of good at it early on. But it takes a long time to really, you know, to get interesting, to be interesting to another comic that's been doing it a long time. So I'm like a grandfather of comedy now. That moral.
Looking back, do you remember the first time that you made someone laugh and how that made you feel?
Yes, I do. It was a knock-knock joke, and I was 4 years old, and it was my parents had some people over at their house. I live in this little bitty town in Texas. It's called Fritch, and I'd heard the joke, and I didn't understand it, but I repeated it, and it just murdered. And it was knock-knock, who's there, madame, madame who, madame foot's caught in the door. And I mean, they laughed like crazy, and I'm like, wow, look at this. And I remember it. I mean, that's one of the only really early memories I have is getting that laugh.
So, and you were hooked because you made your dad laugh. That probably felt really good.
Yeah, it did. And so that's, you know, I've been chasing that stuff ever since.
How do you feel about the world we live in now where social media has kind of taken over, so to speak?
Well, you know, I participate. You know, it's just we move on. You know, computers, I thought that was a fad, but it turns out they're here to stay. And you know, it's just a modern world. You know, and I'm an antique. You know, I don't really use a computer hardly at all. And I mean, I have a tablet with me, but you know, I use it for almost nothing. You know, if I have to look up somebody's name or how to spell something, and a phone that I use pretty well, but I don't send a lot of emails, and I don't do any real work, and I don't even have a pad, so I don't write jokes down. I keep it all in my head, and but anyway, it's there. It is.
That's the answer.
It's all there.
Do you find it that you still like to be able to connect to your fans face to face? I know that social media, for me personally, that's the good thing about it, is that I do feel like I have that arm's length away from all my favorites, whether they are going to read it or respond or not. I feel somewhat connected.
Right. Yeah, I do too. I like Twitter, and I like the Periscope too. I think that's fun. You know, when I've been drinking. And but I also like one-on-one. I mean, you know, I do meet and greets after my shows, so I'll have 65 people, you know, that are fans that I'll do Q&A's with, and I enjoy it. You know, it's something I didn't really know if I would or not, and but I do. It's kind of fun to find out what they think and what they wonder about, because I don't know. You know, I always forget that. You know, just how much people like me. You know, it's kind of weird because around the circle that I run in, which are old friends, all old friends, I'm the same person that I always was, a guy from a little town in Texas. That's all I am. And but when I walk on stage, people go crazy. I'm like, Jesus Christ, they still do this. It's nuts. I never thought this kind of laugh would happen to me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I through the phone even, I can feel how much you just love it, and you're kind of humbled by everything, and you just want to be able to do it every day for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah, you know, there's as long as the people are still curious about what I have to say, you know, I'll keep doing stand-up. And, you know, the thing I have going for me is that I'm a baby boomer, and most of my fans are my age. So, I mean, they're right up young fans, too. But most of them, you know, if you look at my audience, they look like me. And so that's the biggest segment of the population, and we're aging at the same rate. So they don't seem to be all that curious about what the younger comics are saying. And so I kind of have their ear right now. So that means that I could, there's a chance I could ride this for you know, as long as I don't do anything really stupid.
Just stay out of.
I could ride it for a while longer.
Stay out of jail.
Yeah, stay out of jail.
What are people going to get Thursday night from a Ron White show? I mean, for us, we've always seen you with the other three. So here locally anyway in Bloomington, I know you've been solo, a million times. But, you know, for us, it's like, ooh, it's just Ron, man. We're excited.
Yeah, I think I've been there solo before, too. I haven't done a show with them in, 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
But I'll be from the beginning till the end. It's just, you know, my goal is for you to walk out holding your face, and I'll do it. And there's nothing you can do about it. You can come and go, you know what, I'm just not going to laugh, and you'll do it anyway. And that's my goal. I like to beat a crowd up, and that's one of the reasons that I still love it and I still do it is because I can gut a crowd like a catfish, and that's what I'm going to do in Bloomington.
How did
if you'd like to be gutted like a catfish,
come on out. You sell it real well.
Yeah, I know. I'm a salesman at first.
How did the scotch and the cigar start? I don't know if I've ever heard the story.
It started as a beer and a cigarette because I couldn't figure out what to do with my hands. And I smoked and drank, so it always felt comfortable. It was a detriment, I think, for a long time because, television people wouldn't consider me because I smoked and drank on stage. And I did it every show, not just some shows, every show. And then that just kind of evolved into when I quit smoking cigarettes, I started smoking cigars, and then I started drinking scotch when I started making more money, and then I started drinking really good scotch. So now I only drink extra añejo tequila, so I don't drink scotch at all anymore. It's a tequila that I own with my brother-in-law. It's called Number Juan.
Oh wow!
And I believe it's the best drink of liquor in the world, and that's why I'm in it. And that's all I drink. And I have a big scotch collection here at the house. And I walk by it every night and drink my extra añejo tequila.
Well, now, I mean, it's only noon where I'm at, but I'm ready for a drink.
Well, you can go to taterstequila.com and we'll send it to your house. It's not available there now, but it will be soon. It's a cool thing. We have a lot of fun with it, and it's fun to watch people's faces. We've been here in the country for 2 years. We've won 8 gold medals, 2 silver medals, and 2 bronze medals, and then we just quit entering competitions because we're like, how many do we need?
Right.
We already got a poster full of them, and so the critics agree with us. It's in the world of really high quality small batch stuff. We're the new kids on the block.
Is it a good afternoon beverage?
It's a good morning beverage. you can make a Bloody Marias out of it. but it's a great sipping whiskey. I mean, or with whiskey tequila. We just make 3 expressions. We have a Blanco and a Reposado and an extra añejo. And the extra añejo is aged 3 years in a retired bourbon barrel and 3.5 years and with 9-year-old plants. So it takes 15 years almost to make this sip of liquor, and it's just heaven. I mean, it almost It almost has a vanilla in it. I mean, it's just kind of a little bit of a sweetness to it. You know, I forget we're doing an interview, and I feel like I'm talking to somebody I know on the phone.
That's good, because I feel like we could just go out for a drink afterwards and have a good time.
Well, we could.
We could.
Are you coming to the show?
I'm coming to the show, absolutely, yeah.
Well, you have to come back and say hi, and I'll get to let you taste the tequila.
I will. I will hold you to that for sure. You seem to have just lived just an extremely full life. You're kind of a jack of all trades. You just do a little bit of everything. You seem like one of those guys that is like, okay, I don't want to stop, because once I stop, you're just done, you know? So you just keep on going.
Yeah, well, you know, my dad died at 51 and I'm 59. So, you know, there's really no sense in sitting around. It's just all the things that have happened. I worked pretty hard at it, but not compared to some people I know. You know, I go out and do sets at night, and I pay attention to what I'm doing, and I travel like crazy. But I do it because I love this. You know, it doesn't seem like I'm working. It seems like I retired years ago.
When you find something that you, you know, not many people get to do what they love, so. As soon as you find that, man, don't ever let go of it, you know? I feel very blessed and very lucky to get to do what I love as well. And I just, you know, that's the one thing you just kind of wish for everybody. Life would be a happier place if we were all just doing what we love.
Right. Right, yeah, it would be. I feel very lucky. And my wife, too, you know, she's her whole life, that's all she's done is sing. And she's so amazing at it, and it brings me pure joy just to listen to her sing. She can make me cry, and even if we're having a fight, she can start singing, and it'll make me. But she's crazy. She's a 4.5 octave classically trained opera singer, singing whatever she wants to.
Oh wow! You could be the Barry White to her.
Correct.
Is she like off limits for your jokes, or is she cool with it?
I mean, no.
She's got to know. You're Ron White.
Yeah, she doesn't care. It's that's how we make most of our money.
That's how you make you make your tequila.
Right.
That's fabulous. Well, Ron, we're really looking forward to this Thursday night. Again, Ron White, Grammy nominated, is going to be at the U.S. Cellular Coliseum. And if you need more details, if you haven't bought your tickets yet, if you have been waiting for some goddamn reason we don't know about, go online, get the details at WBWN.com. There'll be a link there. You can purchase your tickets, and we will see Ron White this Thursday night.
I will be there with bells on.
Thank you so much, Ron. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
No problem. Thank you very much. I'll see you on Thursday.
All right. See you Thursday. Thanks. Bye.